All right, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today I am again joined by our very own James Murphy. James, how are you?
I'm good, man. Both teams back in action this week with pretty big games for each, and we're going to learn a lot about them this weekend.
Yeah, Mississippi State coming off the bye week, and then, Ole Miss fighting off Washington State to set up a big, big, big showdown with Georgia on the road. It is a big week for both schools. And I believe a pretty big week on the calendar in general, no?
Very true, yeah. Very excited to get into it.
But before we get into it, I just want to give us a second to shout out our sponsor, Vanelli's. Vanelli's Bistro is turning 50 and would like to thank the people of Tupelo for your support all these years. We look forward to the next 50 years. Vanelli's Bistro is located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. James, I was thinking we would start on the Ole Miss front today because A, they have the bigger game of the weekend. And B, they actually played last weekend. So
yeah, we actually have something to go off of.
Ole Miss, I feel almost like it was almost another case of my weird little jinxing powers. Because last week I was like, oh, I don't really want to talk about Ole Miss, Washington State. Like,
I believe your words specifically were, there won't be much to talk about, or it was something along those lines.
Probably. I just, my bad for thinking a team that was like a 4-touchdown favorite at home would be in a dogfight. My mistake. Won't happen again. It probably will. Ole Miss pulling out yet another one possession game.
Yeah, what came to mind for me was, there are plenty of instances where a team heads into a game, and because they have big matchups later in the season, like the next week or two later, that they don't want to open up the playbook too much. I get the feeling that that's a lot of what was happening offensively. Like, they just wanted the guys on offense to just kind of be what they – to just kind of be what got them there. You know what I mean? Kewon Lacy absolutely did that. We can delve into him more if you want, but I think that he was probably their most reliable guy. You could argue they don't beat Washington State without him. Either way, he was great. Chambliss was okay. He made some pretty bad throws a lot of the time, but he was able to just kind of settle down by the end of the game and make the plays he needed to when he needed to. I think the defensively, since Saturday, I think the first thing and last thing they need to be doing is just making better tackling drills, because there were so many times where they just kind of bounced off somebody and just never really wrapped them up, or heck, didn't even knock them backwards. I don't know if that's maybe laziness or the 11:45 a.m. kick that's going around apparently, but either way, look, you got the job done. You were able to get it done. Not every win is going to be ugly. Even some of the best teams in college football history have had that one game where it's like, how the heck did that happen? I feel like that was that. You could argue that was that with Ole Miss. And all they can really do is try and wash it out of their system and move on.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that they just kept things vanilla. I think it's just kind of a case of just getting caught looking ahead. You could convince me that they spent the bye week looking at Georgia film, but hey, I guess they ask how many, not how, right?
Yeah, very true.
I have brought this up a few times, though. I am growing increasingly concerned with the number of one possession wins Ole Miss has. Granted, they are in games where they play like the better team, and so they do kind of come out on top. As Ole Miss hasn't had a game this year where I was like, man, they didn't really deserve that, but they just kind of pulled it out at the last minute. Like, I don't know.
So you think they did deserve to be Washington State, all things considered?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they have these games where they are the better team, play like the better team, but they're all close somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't think that they're overachieving that much, but it's also just like, man, we are in October and you are 4-0 in one possession games.
Like the box score doesn't match the final score.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's delve into Kaywon Lacy a little.
Sure.
Because you mentioned it. He had himself a very nice game. And I think we've talked about this before, but I mean, that's like one of the big differences with this Ole Miss team compared to previous years is they can like kind of run the ball, you know, like that's always been the big thing is, you know, during the Dart years is that it just was like, we have to build a whole plane out of Jackson Dart on offense because we can't run the ball. And he's especially, kind of like the only one who can run the ball.
Especially when Quinshon Judkins left.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know. That seems like a big difference for Ole Miss this year. I'm still trying to get used to it.
Yeah, they finally have a guy. I think he's like top five in the SEC in rushing. He might lead the SEC in rushing after Amont Hardy had harder time than usual against Alabama. Although I was talking about who some of the better players in the SEC might be. I overlooked him a little bit. Hand up on that one. But anyway, this is not a Mizzou podcast. Anyway, I just look again. I don't know if they beat Washington State without him because just Kaywon Lacy was just able to consistently get good yards. Just when he got the ball, he was able to get something positive. I think I see 5.9 yards per carry. Look, that's what you need in some of these games. Just a consistent presence who you hand the ball to and really get going. Also, in the passing game, I'll shout out Daquan Wright. When he only got 4 catches, but when he did, he made the most of it. He got 80 yards and a touchdown. You know, he's just physically – it's just one of those things where, you know, I see tight ends as if you have a really good tight end, it's a matchup nightmare because they're too big for a cornerback to cover and they're too fast for most linebackers / defensive linemen to cover. If you have a good tight end and they're able to do their job well, you got to feed him the ball. And I think Daquan Wright is emerging as that kind of guy.
There is no security blanket quite like a reliable tight end, is there?
No, because again, it's just very tough to match up on him unless you have like a Fred Warner kind of guy on your team.
But yeah, here we go again. I am going to talk about Ole Miss not being able to stop the run because they let a Washington State team that I mean, I guess pretty much on like any side of the any part of this game, you're like, really, that's how you did against Washington State? Like, there was a reason why they were like heavy favorites in this game. That Washington State. Not good. Even after Saturday, would you like to know, according to the good folks at GameOnPaper.com, would you like to know where Washington State ranks in EPA per play when running the ball?
Hit me.
133rd.
Aren't there 133 teams in college football?
You know, I keep losing track because it seems like we add a team every year. So maybe... I forget if that includes Missouri State and Delaware, but that's besides the point. They have been truly awful in terms of running the ball. And they ran the heck out of the ball against Ole Miss. I mean, Kirby Voorhees ends the game with 88 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries. 0.36 EPA per play, if anybody cares about that, right? Like, I don't know. It's just a problem that they are unable to escape, apparently. I mean, when Wazoo ran the ball, they had a 52% success rate. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you do with that. Other than, like, how does that happen?
I don't know. You could translate. You could link it to so many guys on the defensive line from last year aren't here this year. Although I have been impressed with Houston, Mississippi's own Will Eccles. He had a very good day. But, again, it's just a lot of it, I think, comes down to tackling. Like, there's just so many yards after contact and, you know, in the passing game, yards after catch that I feel like a lot of those rushing yards, like, most of those rushing yards come after a guy just bounces off a ball carrier. And I think that's a fundamental thing that you got to get worked on in practice and really, really focus on.
You know, the other thing is that, I mean, Wazoo's defense is dreadful. Right. And yet this was somehow the first game where Trinidad Chambliss looked human, mortal even. Like, it's the first time that he has finished a game this year. Well, at least out of the four starts or games where he has played significant time in, he has... this is the first time he's finished with a PFF like offensive grade below 75, and he's at 57.4. Right, he took three sacks when he had only been sacked twice on the year prior to the Wazoo game. Right, a couple of turnover worthy plays, like just not necessarily a great afternoon from him. Like. Which is, you know, not exactly the most encouraging thing with Georgia on the schedule. I don't know. I feel like everybody gets a free space every year. You get one game to look not good and turn the page because you're not getting a second one.
That's fair. Just kind of looking at the SEC rushing standings, Ole Miss is allowing the third most rushing yards per game behind Arkansas and Mississippi State in that order.
Yeah.
So if Kirby Smart is looking for a way to get back his lane for his calorie comments, he'll be looking to go, as you say, caveman ball.
Well, I guess you just want to move on to that.
Yeah.
This one, I've just struggled to come up with things for this game because I feel like just both teams, I'm just left asking for more. I think more so from Georgia because I'm just like, I don't know what it is you do exactly. Like, you are good, I think, and win games, but, like, I don't know what the identity of this team is. I don't know what exactly they're trying to do. I don't know, man. These, like, post-dynasty years from Georgia have been rather strange.
It's certainly not what they were back then. Just looking at the schedule, they had a road win over Tennessee, mostly because their kicker turned into Charlie Brown, and then they go on the road to Alabama and prove that, for some reason, Alabama lives rent-free in their head, even though Nick Saban's gone, but I digress. Then you go to a Auburn game where that they won, but had the kind of ref show that was fit for a Tony, if that makes sense. But either way, it's just... But the good news is... I think that we're going to get more in this matchup. We are going to learn more about these teams in this matchup, and I think it's going to be a big separator in the SEC, and it will give us a better idea of what to expect. Look, I'll just get right straight to this. I do think there's an opportunity for Ole Miss. I understand the rushing defense is suspect. I understand that there are holes, but this is not the average Georgia team. The defense does not have the kind of NFL names and talent that it usually does. This year, they're a little bit more vulnerable. And the offense, yeah, they have... I think Gunnar Stockton's been pretty impressive relative to expectations. They do have a pretty solid run. Chauncey Bones and Nate Frazier are probably going to get factored in quite a bit in the run game along with Stockton. So, again, that could be a problem. But I do think that there is an opportunity for Ole Miss to go into Georgia and, if not win, put up an impressive fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that they've looked rather mortal recently. I mean, yeah, golly, that Auburn first half was dreadful, bad, kind of got bailed out a bit, more than kind of.
A bit?
In fairness to them, they did take over the second half of that game.
Very true. Yeah, they were just kind of able to dust themselves off and do what they had been for a long time.
And, you know, if Auburn had maybe been able to, I don't know, score in the second half, maybe things turn out differently. But
some people say they did.
Well, no, wasn't that before? Wasn't it the first half?
I thought it was the second half.
I thought it was the first half. Because wasn't it like right at halftime or right on halftime?
I'd have to double check. Let's just, yeah. We'll bookmark that for another time.
But, yeah. Oh, and by the way, the mobile quarterback thing for Ole Miss's defense, got to figure that thing out because he can do it with both.
That's probably
dual threat.
Yeah, that's probably what's factoring into Ole Miss's ability to well, I should say their inability to stop the run up to this point. I wonder if a lot of that scheme, like maybe they just need a QB spy or they need to have faster guys on the field who can fly to the ball. But either way, I do think coaching can play a role in that.
Or just play less man.
Also that too. Zone would help.
Yeah, but yeah, to me, I'm interested to see how, and this is like independent of how last week went. I'm curious to see how Ole Miss's passing game does against Georgia, because on the surface, it looks like a pretty good matchup for them. You know, right now, Ole Miss's EPA per pass is 0.24, which is 23rd in the country, and they're going up against a Georgia defense that's 84th against the pass by EPA, right? You know, that's a pretty big opportunity. You know, and again, I pretty much trust that whoever is playing quarterback for Ole Miss, you know, that they're going to get the most out of what they have. And, you know, it seems like they've sort of gotten the big game curse off their back, you know, because, I mean, you go back and, you know, the LSU win this year and the Georgia game last year are big points. But I don't know, because I feel like up till then it was always Ole Miss playing well right before Bama and they get splattered.
Yeah.
All right, Ole Miss playing well against Georgia and or, you know, ahead of the Georgia game and they get, you know, smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They get, you know, smacked in Athens in 2023, which a lot of things have changed for Ole Miss and Georgia since then. It's only been a couple of years, but yeah, things have changed a little. And then last year, Ole Miss gets the big win at home. But even that one, you're like, well, things have changed a lot in Oxford since that game, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think this and the Oklahoma game, because I think it's fair to group them together now while they're still ahead of us. I think that if they can come out of this stretch having won at least one of these games, they're in very good position for the rest of the way when it comes to both the SEC and the college football playoff. More so the playoff, because obviously more teams can get in. But I do think that if you can win one of these games, you're in good shape the rest of the way, because after that you have South Carolina, Citadel, Florida, Mississippi State. And not that they should overlook any of these teams, but just that there's an argument to be made that these are their two toughest tests coming up. Between Georgia and Oklahoma, that's up for debate. But the point being, that being said, I do feel like if they lose these next two games, probably in a little bit of trouble the rest of the way, and they might need some breaks, certainly in the SEC, but maybe the college football playoff as well.
Yeah, I don't know, any predictions from you?
Well, if I'm trying to think of it, I can't get the fact of Oklahoma's run defense being suspect out of my head, but Georgia also doesn't have the athletes. And if Georgia's passing defense is also bad and Ole Miss can take advantage of that, I'm going to say Georgia wins a close one, like a very, very close one, but I don't feel very confident about it.
I mean, I feel like I need to see more out of both teams. Like I said, Georgia's just been so whelming to me that it's hard for me to like put a ton of faith in them. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to roll with Georgia because they're at home. It seems like a pretty coin flip kind of game to me. Wouldn't be shocked if Ole Miss comes out of Athens with a win, though.
Oh, yeah, that'd be huge for the resume.
But anything else you want to add?
That's about it for me.
Okay, let's flip things over to Mississippi State coming off the bye week. Looking for their first SEC win since 2023 still. They head to Gainesville in a game where, let me tell you, anything could happen and I would not be shocked.
This is coming from a Florida Gator, people. You should take his word pretty seriously.
It is, I don't know. I just wrote down, like, who's going to show up, right? Like, Mississippi State did not, you know, play well in their last road trip, right?
Right.
And Florida is seemingly a loss away from firing the coach. My lips to God's ears, please.
So much for objectivity.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny that they upset Texas at home, and it's this big, like, fun moment, and then they lose to Texas A&M on the road the following week in a truly depressing second half, and everybody's like, "Yeah, no, we're back on the fire Billy train," and you know, I don't really think there's anybody campaigning for him to keep his job at this point.
I'll take your word for that.
That's what I have. And then also, I'm curious to see if Mississippi State can avoid another meltdown, particularly on offense, in another loud environment after, you know, they went up to College Station and, you know, 110,000 people or whatever, they fit into Kyle Field, and they just totally laid an egg on offense. Well, now you go down to Gainesville, and while you at least avoid the worst of the possible weather and playing conditions in the swamp, it's still most likely going to be very loud.
100%. And this kind of leads into the point, and the point that I wanted to make. I got to go down to the press conference that Lebby had on yesterday. We're recording Tuesday. Press conference was Monday. And I kind of wanted to get a better idea of how they do on the road, because you could make the argument they haven't won a true road game this season, because the one time they did was a bus ride to Hattiesburg, and I'm pretty sure that was about more of a neutral site game with how many State fans showed up. You were there. You could give a better explainer of that than I could.
At the very least, nobody's going to be impressed with you by saying, "Hey, look, we beat Southern Miss on the road. Like, we know how to win games on the road."
Right, but the point is, it didn't feel as much like a road game, whereas the one time they did, they got yell-leadered to death. And among a lot of other things that we've talked about on other podcasts, or in the past on this podcast. The big goal for Mississippi State, because they have a lot of set goals this year that they've been adhering to and that have been valuable to the program, their next biggest goal is, I'm quoting them here, to become postseason eligible as soon as possible. Not like soon or eventually or some point down the road. No, as soon as possible. Like, that tells me, as someone looking at it, that they see these next five games as the opportunity where, if you're going to become postseason eligible, you got to do it in these next few games. Because let's look at the slate right now. You got at Florida on Saturday. They host Texas the next week, at Arkansas, who's unranked. They host number 9 Georgia, and then they go to number 16 Missouri, who, despite the loss at Alabama, is still a very, very legitimate opponent. Then you have the week off before hosting Ole Miss. Who knows what they'll be by then, but I know it's a rivalry, but I think it happened in those. The point being, you could make the argument that the best chance for them to get postseason eligibility might be in this five-game stretch, or maybe even just the first two-thirds of this five-game stretch, like in Florida, Texas, and Arkansas, because those are the teams that I'll say are most susceptible to getting it done. Because I think if you're going into Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss still needing one win to get bowl eligibility, I don't think they're feeling great about it, just because I feel like those teams out-talent them. And again, Missouri, construction side aside, would not be the friendliest environment to anybody, let alone a team desperate for bowl eligibility. I do think that he sees these next three games as the opportunity to get it done, and if not, cross your fingers and let it rip the rest of the way.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was taking away from that too. Was like, there, it seems like there's a genuine like sense of urgency, because, well, for one, you have to win a conference game at some point.
You do, but it's weird because that wasn't so much of the narrative. It was more just about, well, we need to get bowl eligible. And I guess those kind of go hand in hand, because, you know, if you get bowl eligible, it means you've won two SEC games, which means congratulations, you've broken the 2-year streak, da 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 da. But I guess those two go hand in hand, and I guess maybe they're looking at a more big picture, if I had to guess.
Well, I mean, it's also just that, like, you know, you can't you kind of like, I guess it's kind of like what you just said. You can't really like congratulate yourself on winning one conference game. Like, you know, congrats for, you know, the bar is on, it is in the basement. If that's the bar, right?
Right.
You know, you're in the SEC. You should probably make a bowl game every year.
Yeah, and especially for what the program is, just to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, also, yes, the I mean, look, the schedule the rest of the way is not easy. But particularly, yes, if you are sitting on 4 or 5 wins after that Arkansas game, and you've got Georgia at home, Mizzou on the road, and then the Egg Bowl, that's a rough spot to be in.
It is, and I think that's where the urgency to get it done as soon as possible is coming from. Heck, you could argue that Texas, I know they won Red River and they looked better, but you could argue they might have enough flaws to exploit to at least make it close at Davis Wade with the Cowbells. I'm sure they will be ringing like nuts, but I do get the feeling that they think these next 3 games are it.
You know, I mean, I just look at the schedule and I'm like, well, it's not just that the schedule's hard, but also it has been, as we record right now, it has been, in a week, it will have been a month. If they do not win on Florida or against Florida, it will be like a month since their last win, right? Which is rough.
Yeah.
And then Texas, Arkansas, right? Like it's just a long time to go without getting some kind of victory, right? It's look, the optimism early in the season was nice. The undefeated start was nice, but it, you know, you got to deliver at least a little bit second half of the season.
The rubber has met the road.
Sure. Yes. At the very least, I don't know. It just sort of depends on how they play in these. Like, if they just lose a bunch of one possession games, like if they, I don't know, beat one of Mississippi State, or sorry, beat one of Florida and Arkansas, and then lose a bunch of close games and finish 5-7. Not necessarily the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I think people at the beginning of the year might have taken that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does sort of feel like a little bit of a waste.
It does. And again, this is most of college football, given where the state of the game is now, is people expect a much bigger turnaround, especially at most power conference schools. I do think Mississippi State is a unique case where it will take time to get to where they want to be. And as much as it already has been a step forward, obviously, you know, 4 is twice as much as 2. So congrats, you've doubled your win total from last year. There is an opportunity to do more. And I think they've shown enough to prove that they can do more, especially if they're able to clean up on some of the blemishes they have, which we can get more into if we want. It's just about kind of taking advantage, and it kind of goes back to the 1-0 every week mindset that they have, and that I think has been very valuable to what has been a step forward this year as a program.
So, yeah, and then I guess my other big question is, like, just what can Mississippi State do against Florida's defense, right? Because I just sort of feel like some of the stuff on offense the last couple weeks or last couple games have been a little, they've left people asking for more.
2 words, pass protection. It's going to come down to that. I believe they've allowed 16. That's 3rd most in the SEC and 12th most in the country. You could double check me on that if you please. It really comes down to that. I asked Lebby about it at the press conference, and a lot of it came down to, look, there's a lot of new bodies on the offensive line. Albert Reese being hurt has not helped. We've had a lot of new guys coming in. Like, we had so many transfers, but they haven't had the kind of time necessary to gel. They think the bye week has given them an opportunity to do more of that and to kind of build more chemistry and understand where to go. But the message that was imparted on the media was, it's not going to necessarily be like, they can't just give them layups, you know? They have to go into practice and focus on the fundamentals and just be able to hone in on all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and Florida's pass rush, I mean, they were teeing off against Texas and Arch Manning, but have been pretty quiet ever since, or yeah, the rest of the year. So, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, that the protection issues have been pretty rough.
They have. And look, I think there are a lot of factors. We talked about how Blake Shapen might be playing a factor. I've talked about how the routes being run might be a factor. Maybe you just scheme up short, more slants, more hitches, more pop passes to get the ball out of Blake's hands quicker, or just give him another read. Maybe more swing passes to whoever the running back is. Probably won't be Fluff Bothwell against Florida. Lebby said he's doubtful. Point being, it's an apparatus that maybe multiple parts factoring in could help things along the way.
I mean, Florida's the more talented team, but please don't get me started on this coaching matchup. We'll be here for a while.
Well, now I kind of want to. No. I kind of want to do that. You're tempting me here, Brendan.
Now, look, that was the fascinating thing about Florida last week was, you know, it was offensive head coach versus defensive head coach. And Mike Elko put Billy in a locker. Second half, and I'm pretty sure, you know, wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. The Florida's offense has been such a train wreck this year that who knows. I think a couple people have asked me, oh, what do you think about this weekend? You know, and I'm like, I have no idea.
It's going to be a very interesting day for him in church on Sunday, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just to sum up where I am on this game, I was watching a video of John Rothstein, his reaction to watching Florida's basketball scrimmage, just to feel something.
What an optimistic picture you're painting.
That's where Florida fans are at. They're, you know,
Hashtag basketball school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they better be after last year. Shoot.
No. Well, I mean, that's fair. But just even like given the circumstances, it's like you're going straight to basketball. You're not even waiting till January like a lot of people are. It's just, nope, just get me to the hardwood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Who do you think's going to win?
I'm going to say Florida pulls away with it. I think there's too much of a talent gap. I haven't seen enough from State to show that its flaws on offense can be rectified in time for this one. And I think that Florida just has a little more talent. I think that'll win out in the end.
That's generally what I think too. Outside of like a couple of blowouts, to start the year last year, Billy Napier's been pretty good, at home, during his Florida tenure. At the very least, he's been absolutely dreadful on the road, so he's sort of had to you know, take care of business at home. But golly, it wouldn't surprise me if this game ends with Billy Napier getting fired on Sunday.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
I mean, I'll take Florida, but I don't feel good about it.
That's fair. Again, I will take your word for just how insane it is over there.
I think all it will take is watching like a couple quarters of Florida's offense, and then all my friends around here will be like, I understand why you're like this.
Just like, I understand your pain. I get it.
Yeah.
These are words that I cannot describe.
You know, after the 16th halfback dive out of the pistol, yeah.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, just, I don't know, anything else you want to add, period?
That's all to that. But if we're going in general, make sure to follow me on Twitter at JS Murphy Media. I'm at a couple of State games, and I write a couple of articles and just at that stuff and press conferences. You can find some of my content from the press conference. I wrote some immediate thoughts from afterwards and kind of a quasi preview ahead of Florida this weekend. It's buried underneath my tears about New York sports. So again, JS Murphy Media, be sure to follow me. By the way, just in total, DJournal Sports, we have an Instagram at DJournal Sports. Be sure to follow that. We're trying to get that up and going as we speak.
Just the way you were pointing, I was trying to figure out if I should squeeze Pod Gator just for fun.
No, I like to do that just episode. To, there's something about pointing almost like at a screen that brings more enthusiasm out of me as I'm talking about the things I love, or in the case of New York sports, the things I loathe.
Yes. Yes. No. Well, I'm just saying that we were talking about Florida, and then you started pointing at Pod Gator. So.
Oh yeah, you know, I wish I put those two together before I did that.
But anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow the journal on Twitter at djournalsports. You can find all of our Ole Miss and Mississippi State coverage at djournal.com. You can follow James on Twitter at jsmurphymedia. Like he just said, James, am I missing anything?
Only the sponsor. Take it home.
Yep. If you're looking for a family restaurant with a relaxed atmosphere and that won't break the bank, then come to Vanelli's Bistro in Tupelo. They've got pizza, pasta, and more. Go taste the difference at Vanelli's, located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. James, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, man.
And thanks for listening, everybody. Take care and enjoy the games this week.